Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen, and we welcome you to
Love Letters Live.
This is a place to learn to open your heart, to speak your mind, and to state your case. This is a show, above all, about gratitude felt, gratitude expressed, gratitude written down, stamped, and mailed to someone.
And that someone can be anyone at all, for any reason and at any time.
Love letters can do a lot. And when we say love letters, we're talking about real letters on real paper and sent. Love letters are wonderful, as Teresa said, for anybody at any time. They are, they're for healing, they're for welcoming, they're for thanking, they're for asking for romance, they're for offering romance. Anything you want to do. They're for thanking a team of doctors who have helped you tiptoe past death. They're for anything heroic and anything that is your truth, written compassionately and lovingly on paper.
In fact, I had a very positive customer service experience lately with some movers and storage people, and I intend to write a love letter to them very shortly.
Didn't you write a love letter to somebody who helped you in an automobile?
Yes.
Oh, tell us about that. That's delicious.
Yes, I probably told that before, but
tell it again.
I was stranded in Santa Rosa on a Thursday afternoon, needed a part for the car in order to get it back to San Francisco, and was told that the earliest they could get it was, 10 o'clock the next morning, which was going to cause me a great deal of inconvenience, not to mention that I had a meeting in San Francisco. So I told them that that was going to be very inconvenient for me, and so it was fortunately a little part that could be manufactured. In the olden days, it was manufactured. And these mechanics still knew how to do that. They spent about an hour creating and fitting this little part and told me that if I drove carefully, I could probably limp back to San Francisco in my car and save my day. So when I was so touched by that, and I did get back safely, that when I got home, I wrote them a letter and said, thank you so much, how much I appreciated it. And a couple of days later, I was sitting at my desk. The phone rang. It was the mechanic calling me, nearly in tears. He said no one had ever written a letter like that to him before. This was a first. So letters make a difference.
And he's probably deserved it many times.
He's probably deserved it many times.
Okay, well, good. So we want to just say once again that a love letter is really a custom-designed gift designed by you for somebody in this world, and it's not something that will ever be duplicated. This person will get nothing else just like it, and it will always fit. It will never need to be returned.
Right. Every week on our show we have fantastic guests, and today is no exception. Janet, who will we be talking to today?
Yes, today our guest is Damian Keller. Damian is Director of Sales for the Orchard Hotels in San Francisco, two boutique hotels on Union Square, and California's first green hotel. It's their website, in case you're interested. Pardon me? No, go ahead.
Theorchardhotels.com.
Okay. Okay. Their website is, thank you, Damian, that's important. The website is theorchardhotels.com. So, Damian, I want to ask you, talk about blessings and challenges in life. We've all had both, and tell us about your life, family life.
I grew up in a very middle-class family in San Diego, conservative, relatively Irish Catholic family. I'm the youngest of four boys. My mom stayed home. My dad went to work. He was in the defense business. And I was different. I was the youngest, and I am gay. And so growing up in that kind of situation with three older brothers who are really guys, and from mom and dad who are raised us like that, it was a challenge.
And you said you were the only altar boy and the rest were?
Yeah, well, that was my...
All jocks.
Exactly, because that was my destiny. I mean, if I couldn't play a sport, then I better become, or date, I better become a priest. So that was, and I come from a family of, there are people who are, I have a nun and an uncle who are in the church,
yes.
So.
But you said your early childhood, you said at one point when you look around and you see other families and you realize how wonderful yours really was.
Sure, you know what? In retrospect.
Yeah.
everything is in retrospect. At the time, I thought, I wanted to be like everybody else. But yeah, absolutely. And those were the gifts. Now, in retrospect, those were the gifts that I wanted to to tell my mom about,
yes.
and my dad eventually. But
and your dad is I think you said he's a really serene person, and that when you came out to him, he had really a beautiful response.
It was the best response ever. He just looked at me and said, "Are you happy? Are you healthy? That's all I care about."
Isn't that lovely? And you talked about a book that you were reading.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's
been helpful, right?
It's been helpful only to recognize some of my dad's qualities in this, and that's that things aren't always fair. Things don't end up the way that you expect them. There are about five. I actually didn't.
But they're the five things you can't change and what you can
do about them, right? And basically, it's how to look at some of these things that you can't change, and one could look at as devastating, or but actually those are graces that have been given to you, and you just have to kind of look at them differently, and actually can be helpful.
And your dad's serenity has held you both in good stead. You told me about an incident.
Well, was down visiting last weekend in San Diego, and my dad's truck was stolen right in front of us.
You were in a restaurant.
We were in a restaurant. I was looking outside, saw the truck back up. I'm like, "Dad, I think that's your car taken off." And he said, no, it can't be. And I said, "No, really, Dad, I think it's yours." And there were 100 other trucks like that in the parking lot. And it was my dad's truck.
He saw it taken off.
just took off and was very calm and cool and didn't react. I just said that was a $33,000 lunch. But that's just my dad. I mean, nothing. Within reason. I mean, nothing really affects him because he knows it's just a truck and no one died.
It's not life or limb.
It's a good day.
Trucks can be replaced.
And
as it turned out, this one was low-jacked.
It had a big plug for low-jack.
Yes, and that can help you stay calm.
We recovered in about an hour. So, getting close to the Tijuana border. So,
they got
pretty far.
Okay. So, and he wasn't a person to be angry and...
No.
That's so nice. Yeah. That is so nice. And talk about your mother. What was she like?
And her
expectations and how she handles things.
Well, her expectations were that you either got married or became a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't move out of the house until you either got married or had enough money. Because it was a shame. It was some kind of shame that, what's wrong with you? Why would you leave the house? So actually, me moving to San Francisco, I was kind of the first one to do that without really a cause. So I was a bit of a taboo, especially San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And, never mind. Well, I remember my mom, when I first moved, she said, be careful because they'll try and convert you up there.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
So,
okay.
Kind of interesting comment. That really? I came out quickly after that. So.
And so, you want to say anything about your brothers and their families? Or? Are you close with them?
Yeah, no, they've all been really wonderful. I mean, being the youngest, there's an 11-year gap, or no, 7-year gap between me and my next brother, and then 11-year between the oldest. And being the youngest, I am the little brother. I've had a look at this kind of hard because I've always been looked after and in a way spoiled. So it has shaped my life in some way that I've had these three older brothers always protect me.
Do they still feel that way?
I think so. I think they would do anything for me. Yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
I'm blessed.
So who gets the love letter? I mean, you have a lot of people here who could, and I think you indicated that there were a lot of people who eventually are going to.
Yeah, I really wanted to write the love letter to my mother because she needs it the most.
And what makes her need it the most? And what a sweet thing to respond to.
I think she's afraid.
Of?
I didn't think I was going to get upset.
It's okay. Oh, well, you can. It's an emotional thing.
That just hit me.
Yes.
It just hit me. I think she's afraid for me. She's really worried about me.
About your health and happiness?
About my health and happiness. When I was in San Diego, I just realized that's where it comes from, the fear.
Mm-hmm.
I was in San Diego like this past weekend, and we were at dinner, and she said to she started crying at the dinner table at a family gathering, and she's and all my brothers have kids, and one of them has a new baby, and she was really upset. She's like, "You'll never know what this is like or get to experience this," and she was really sad for me.
Mm-hmm.
She thought I wasn't going to find happiness in this, and I think sometimes there's shame for her around that, and some guilt around that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what I want her to know.
So your goal in writing to her is to...
Let her know that I am happy.
So nice.
And it's because of her that I have the courage and strength to be who I am today. It's, and that's the biggest gift. That's been the biggest gift to me today. Is that I've had enough courage to come out of the closet, move to San Francisco with $300 in my pocket, and to really do it. And those are actually some things that she taught me.
Mm-hmm. How did she teach you those things? Because I think it's nice to put specifics in a letter. It's one thing to say, and important to say, you know, you've done a good job and I'm happy and part of what I am is because of what I got from you. But specifics are delicious to people.
She taught me the art of persistency.
Ah, uh-huh.
As an early child, I was picked on a lot. And
by schoolmates?
By schoolmates. And mm-hmm. I didn't want to go to school. And my mom did the best she knew how to kind of foil that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, butch it up as much as you can. And,
oh, really? How cute. Yeah.
But, I mean, what she taught me is you have to go out there and face them. Uh-huh. You have to show up. You have to show up to participate. And she insisted on that, from me, at least. So and she's very much this way. I mean, she is in not very good health. I mean, but she gets up every day and she does her thing. She has her friends. She goes to, you know, bingo or, you know, whatever. And she doesn't like get much in the way of that. So she taught me, you know, to really kind of show up for life, I think. And people are going to be mean to you. And life isn't fair in some way, you know. She kind of reminded me of that a lot. And
life isn't fair, but?
Life isn't fair, so get over it. Uh-huh. Full stop. I mean, that's it.
Yeah. Don't wait for life to be fair, right?
No, right. Yeah, it's not. So stop. And one of the other gifts that she gave me, she's given the whole family, is in our family, and the deal with that life is not fair is that it's all a joke. And she has a great wicked sense of humor.
Oh,
I mean, she's given me a really great sense of humor because you gotta laugh at it. It's all kind of funny at the end of the day, and maybe not in the moment, but in a few years, it's a good story, and that's kind of a survival technique, but it's good. I think it's healthy.
Yes, it's a survival technique, and it makes you welcome in social gatherings if you're not going to just bellyache about things all the time, but you can laugh.
Yeah.
Yes, one of those people gets invited, the other doesn't. Right.
Let me just take this opportunity of the lull in the conversation that's very exciting to remind our listeners that this is KUSF 90.3 FM Love Letters Live. We're here every week with wonderful guests like this, and we urge you to join us.
I want to congratulate you on seeing that as a lull in the conversation. I was just taking a breath.
Well, I have to take advantage of those opportunities, Janet.
Thank you. Okay, so the wicked sense of humor.
Wicked sense of humor.
And you had said she had a stroke.
Yes.
7 years ago.
Several years ago now, she had a stroke. And this is why I want to write this love letter to her, most importantly, because time is of the essence here. And every day it ticks by. Every time the phone rings and I see her number pop up, mm-hmm. I get a little scared.
Of course.
And she doesn't realize that, especially when she doesn't leave me a message. I'm like going, just say what you need on the phone because I need to know what that is.
People have to learn how to use those voicemails.
Yeah, because then I can respond because then I don't know if it's just she needs a recipe or...
Right. You hear that gagging and a call me back. You don't know what to do. I know.
Yeah.
That's awful.
And they're in San Diego and I only get to fly down there maybe 3 times a year. And then, you know, if you just look at it, I only have a few hours left with her.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're saying something so lovely because you talked a minute ago about she's afraid for you. But hello, I hear the same thing in you for her.
Yeah.
And isn't that kind of partly what love is? You fear for the other person's happiness. You want them to be healthy and happy.
Right. And, well, which brings me up to another point of my mother, that one of the gifts that she's given me is the gift of generosity and compassion.
Talk about that.
We're not millionaires, and I think if we were, she would give it all away. And that's just how she's been. Mm. She's given her time and as much money as she could possibly.
What does she do with time? I mean, volunteer things also.
I think she has volunteered with the sick. She used to be a nurse as well before she married. And she, I have a little story.
Please.
About just in compassion as well. That I don't know how old I was, but I remember, and my parents always would run around the house saying, turn off all the lights. So I'd make sure to catch them and say, hey, can I turn off this light? And one of the lights that were on was the front porch light. And my mom said, no, don't turn off that light. Leave that light on, because we want anyone who's in trouble, who may be passing by, that there's a light on.
Oh.
To know they can come.
So they can come.
Yes.
It's a safe place. So.
Oh, that's just wonderful.
I'm going to have to remember that here in San Francisco.
Yeah.
My light on.
That's just heroic.
Yeah, in a way she is.
Uh-huh. Old-fashioned, old-time, be there for anyone who needs you, uh-huh. and willing to step up to the plate and do whatever it takes. So what else would you, specific physical things, for example, what she looks like, things she wore, things she cooked. I mean, do you have specific things that you remember? I think those are really wonderful to put in a letter. And I think it makes a difference to people when they hear you remember those things.
Oh,
do you have any of those?
It's my mom's whole overall look that I love.
What does she look like?
Well, she is... can I say? Yes, she's 72 now.
Oh, of course you can
say
it. She's
72, and her hair is about the same as it was in 1965.
Which means?
It's just kind of shrunk. It's a beehive, which is my mom's signature, which I love.
Yes.
Although I've given her a hard time about it. It's the same color as mine,
mm-hmm.
and it really should be a little bit lighter now, if you know what I mean.
Yes. yes.
Mm-hmm. And you know, my mom isn't a great cook, but that's actually kind of part of the thing. You know, that's kind of my mom. You know, she prepares food. She doesn't really cook, but you know, that's okay.
Yeah, but she gets it on the table for you.
She gets it on the table.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of my.
If she were an actress, who would she be?
Oh, geez. Who is the B. Arthur? She would be somewhere between that and like maybe Rosalind Russell or something like that.
Oh, no, that's not how I pictured her.
B. Arthur with a beehive.
Okay. Yes, right. Okay.
Small beehive. Yeah.
That's a compliment.
So that is really so. That's a much more forceful person.
Very forceful.
Oh, okay.
My mom is not.
A shrinking violet?
No shrinking violet. You know, my dad, that's where my mom and my dad balance each other. My dad is very serene, very kind of passive and, you know, benign maybe or something like that. But my mom's all about, nope, this is the way we're going to do it.
And she can be, I mean, B. Arthur was a little harsh.
Yeah, well, my mom can be a little harsh.
Okay.
But in a good way, you know.
Yes.
You always laughed and you always knew it was love and, you know.
Sounds like she can be a little soft too.
Yeah. Exactly.
So when you just before got a little teary and what you wanted to say to her, you want her to know ultimately that she did a good job in raising you.
Yeah, I don't
talk
want
about
her to
that.
Be afraid. I want her to know that
for you
that me being gay. I want her to know how this. I think in some way it's a generational thing and she has a hard time wrapping her brain around it, which I totally get.
Sure.
That, you know, maybe this was a lifestyle, it's a phase, something bad happened in the best, you know, other relationship or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I want her to know that I'm strong and I'm happier this way, because if I were living a lie, if I wasn't being true to who I am, I mean, it's to thine own self be true, you know, and that's the greatest lesson. That's the greatest gift you can give a child.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability to find themselves, to let them be themselves and not, I mean, my mom is still afraid, but she's still very accepting. And I have a partner, James,
mm-hmm.
who knows Janet very well. And she loves James, you know. I'm so lucky to have a mother that accepts James, loves James.
By the way, how could you not love James in general? Yeah.
I think my mom and James are a great pair because they can kind of give it to each other and they can both take it. So I love it. Yeah, they're great. I love when James comes to San Diego with me. And my mom can see me happy with James. And that's really important. See me with James.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really want my mom to know these things in the love letter, that she's given me this ability to be who I am. And acceptance, and that's the I think the best that's the best gift in my life, and it's not over. It is mid journey.
Yes.
I'm mid journey, and I'm still trying to find my to thine own self be true, to really make sure that I'm living a life
in every way.
In every way. So, and my mom's ability to give me Pardon? Some of these, my mom's gifts of generosity and compassion and sense of humor, those are all great things that I want to recognize her.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Well, I've written these things down as you've been talking. I mean, when I haven't been laughing. And I'm just going to give them to you.
Thank you.
So that you'll remember the things you said. And I hope you'll be able to do that pretty soon and send it to her. If she has something really interesting that you'd like to share with us or a response that you'd like to share with us to share with our listeners, we'd love that.
Thank you.
And if anybody out there would like to be in touch with James, if his story is similar to yours and you have a question or you have... I said James because you keep talking about James. Damien. James was the last name I just wrote down. Anything you have to say to Damien or to share with him or to ask him, please feel free to email us. Go to our website at www.loveletterslive.com, and there's a Contact Us link there. So we'd love to hear from you.
Right. And you can also listen to past shows on our website. So if you've missed any, please go there and listen and email them to your friends. Turn this into a movement. Janet, our listeners weren't able to see what was going on here, so I thought we would talk a little bit about the process.
Okay.
You were interviewing Damien and gathering specifics for his love letters. If you're writing your love letter for the first time, how do you go about it?
Well, I was writing down what Damien was saying because I think it's important when you're writing a love letter to just start writing all the things that you think. And so rather than expect James to sit here and... Damien to sit here and write down everything he is saying, I'm just doing it for him.
Right.
But in general, it's a good idea just to write down everything you think, everything you remember, and not just the broad strokes about you've given me strength and you've made me feel so special, but all the small things. Because what I hear for years and years now, the maybe 20 years I've been doing this with people, is the response was, from parents in particular, but from everyone, I didn't know you remembered that. Or, I never knew that you knew that about me. And the gift is that you have been paying attention and that you do know these things. And how is she supposed to know that that porch light story is so big in your life lessons if you don't tell her that it's been that?
Mm-hmm. She doesn't know about it. I'm sure she won't even remember it. No.
Well, I wouldn't be so sure. I mean, maybe she won't, but people do remember things. I know even with my children, you know, they say things to me, and I can't imagine behind what door they were lurking, mm-hmm. that they know things or hear things. They were just paying attention, and it's a wonderful compliment.
So after you list all these things, then you go back through and maybe choose the ones that...
Or choose them all, if they're all relevant. If something's, you've said it more than once and you don't need to, and sometimes... More often, I think what happens is when you look at the 12 things you've written down, you remember another 12 and another 14 and another, and it just keeps going. And you can either do a beautiful long, long letter, or you can choose the things that are most relevant.
Well, how long should a love letter be, Janet?
I think a love letter can be anywhere from a short card to, you know, endless pages. Mm-hmm. Some of our most wonderful novels are love letters, and autobiographies or love letters, and it doesn't really matter. But I think you do have to take into consideration the attention span and the emotional abilities of the person receiving it. Mm-hmm. If a person is terribly, terribly uncomfortable with a lot of emotional stuff being expressed, you may want to do less. And that doesn't mean you can't do the rest. You can do 10 letters over a 2-year period, mm-hmm. or over a 10-month period, or whatever you want. Just so a person doesn't have to look at too much at one sitting and not be able to read it. It's better to have somebody be able to take in 12 sentences, just take them in wholeheartedly and know what you mean, than look at 4 pages and have somebody say, "Ugh, I can't read this," and put it aside. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how
or
long.
Or gloss over some of the important points because there are so many points.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've got somebody who likes those Bronte sisters and can read long, complicated things, then have a good time. Do that.
Yeah. And then, do you recommend editing?
Sure, I do, but only for things that don't ring true. You know, sometimes we put things down, and maybe they come out harsher than we really feel. You know, you see it in black and white, and you can say, Well, I know I said I was angry, but I wasn't really angry. I was just irritated or overwhelmed, or vice versa. You want it to reflect what you feel really accurately. And I think that's the only editing. If you find yourself whining or accusing, there may be a time in life for that, but it's not part of a love letter. Love letter is focusing on the good and sending that as a gift. It's just a collection of somebody else's wonderful qualities that you're sending in a lovely, beautiful package, and that is the envelope you choose. And what stationery will you choose, Damien?
I was thinking like a nice lilac. Something that's one of my mom's favorite colors.
Okay, that's so. And that's, you know, that speaks something when you see your favorite color there in the pile of otherwise dismal mail, bills and catalogs and mortgage commercials.
Great. Well, again, Damien, thank you. We have time for just one Dear Janet, I think. We ask our listeners to please send us their questions and other things that they want to share with us. This is... a good one we received last week. Dear Janet, I have a dear, generous, elderly friend who has accumulated many beautiful household items over a long life. Every time I visit her, she sends me away with an exquisite piece of fine china or another valuable collectible. Of course, I write her a thank you note each time, but it seems I should be doing something more. I would like to write her a long love letter after the next gift, but then how do I follow that with simple thank you notes for succeeding gifts that I know I'll be receiving?
Ah, that's really planning ahead in kind of a nice way. I think... The best thing always to do is just say the truth. And that's what we talk about, a love letter is your truth put to paper. And I think you can say, dear, you know, Aunt Mary, I know I send you a note of thanks every time you send me home with some treasure, but I just want to take a little longer today and send you a letter and tell you what you and your generosity mean to me and how much you have meant to me. And how each of these gifts is just a little part of you that I tread, whatever it is you want to say. I don't want to put words in people's mouths. But I think that's just fine. And then end it with, you know, I know the next one will probably be a simple thank you, but every once in a while I'm going to need to tell you more. Why not?
That would be beautiful.
And I don't think people are suspicious of love letters. I've never heard of one. They don't ask where it came from or how did you think of that or why, unless it's so obvious that it's just, you know, grasping to be in the will.
Uh-huh.
And they're usually signed. Those aren't exact love letters.
Uh-huh. Well, we want to thank our listeners again for joining us. And certainly, Damien, thank you for joining us
today. Thank you for having me.
We hope all of you will tune in every week at KUSF 90.3 FM. We encourage you to put your loving sentiments into words and send them while you still have the chance.
And just remember, if you think you need a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is a special occasion.
So until next week, with love from Teresa
and Janet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.